Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and for those of you that have been listening, sending in questions and comments, thank you so much, and please continue to help spread the word that every Monday from 11 a.m. to noon Pacific time, this show will bring on special guests that can inspire, educate, and in some cases entertain, while bringing answers and options to making our lives happier, healthier, and more successful. And I would really appreciate it if you would all do me a favor. Please forward one of our shows to your social media groups and to someone you know that can benefit from a particular show. This is one powerful way we, together, can make a positive influence on the world. Now, Answers for the Family will continue to address a variety of issues, such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and creating a greater health and happiness for you and your family. Now, we will also introduce you to talented authors and new innovations in the areas of health, happiness, security, and creating joy for you and your family. Now, before we get to our guest, I want to thank all of you, the ones that take the time. It's your precious time, and I want you to know that I appreciate it, that you take your time to listen to this show, and especially those of you that send in questions, comments, and suggestions, as well as leaving reviews. It is something that will help us reach more people, and I believe that that will make a positive difference. Now, today, my guest co-host is Terry Ladau. Terry is a board-certified professional Christian counselor in private practice in Costa Mesa, California, and has helped individuals, couples, and families work through anxiety, depression, anger management, and addictions for over 27 years. He especially enjoys helping to change belief systems that result in negative behaviors. Now, as a husband of 41 years, father of two, and grandfather of three, along with 30 years of sobriety, Terry believes his life experience allows him to give back, and often using biblical principles to help people deal with many of today's real life issues. Now, for the last 10 years, Terry has been part of an amazing nonprofit organization, Finding Freedom International, which comes alongside safe houses around the world to help provide restoration for the young people who have been sexually trafficked and exploited. Thanks for joining us, Terry.
You are more than welcome, sir. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Well, it is definitely my pleasure. But, you know, Terry, as I was saying that, I realized that I may understand some of it. But can you share with our listeners what Finding Freedom International means by providing restoration?
We got involved in this about 10 years ago in a process of helping safe houses around the world deal with kids who've been sexually trafficked. And these were all underage kids at the time. And one of the things we found out was that a lot of people who work in safe houses aren't safe. Because we tend to move towards what our injuries are. And a lot of the women who were working there and a lot of the people had histories of being trafficked, being abused, being stuff. And so they brought those, their heart with them, but they also brought their stuff with them. And so we help safe houses get healthy, because ultimately we want those kids to be restored. And a healthy environment creates restoration at a much better level. So that was it. We said if we can have a healthy house that these kids can go through, then the repetition of that over and over and over, then we're going to have a bunch of kids who will be much more healthy. So that was our immediate direction we started in.
Well, and I appreciate you sharing that, because I know that it's something that's a little different than what a lot of the organizations do. Now, we already have our first comment that is coming through, and that is, Somebody that's watching us on Facebook Live has said, can you please ask the handsome bearded man to move a little bit further this way because we can't see all of them on screen.
Okay.
So, hey, so you already have...
We're moving around.
You already have friends and followers that are now watching. And,
yeah, okay.
So...
Thank you, sir.
You've got it. So, now, our topic today... is really about everybody getting together and working together to end homelessness. One of the reasons why I have Terry here is because of the correlation between homelessness and human trafficking. Our guests who have been with us before is Aaron Thompson and Rob Danson. So Aaron works closely with Executive Director Adam Murray and the Board of Directors and Advisors to coordinate logistics for special initiatives for Los Angeles. She manages the ICLC affiliate's website, which is www.homeful.la. Now, for everybody that can, you're in a position to write things down, write this down. If you're driving, we'll have it on our website later. But again,
definitely don't write if you're driving.
Yes, exactly. and she also manages the team that it takes to make the people in Los Angeles aware of what they can do. They can volunteer, they can become advocates, or they can donate towards ending homelessness. Now, Erin herself has a Juris Doctorate from the John Marshall Law School and a Bachelor of Science degree in Arts, Entertainment, and Media Management from Columbia College, Chicago. She is an experienced operations manager, business developer, administrator, leadership coach, and small business consultant. She is also the founder of a nonprofit organization called the S Project. Now, as a little bit of a mystery, if you want to learn more about the S Project, go to the Answers for the Family website, which is answersforthefamily.com, and type in her name, and you'll be able to listen to the first time she was on the show because she shared a lot about it.
That's right. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah. Now, with Rob, now for over 3 years, we're coming up on 4 years now, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Rob Danson he's played an intricate role in the development, the marketing, and volunteer management side of the nonprofit Food on Foot, which is dedicated to assisting the homeless and low-income neighbors of Los Angeles with nutritious meals and a fresh start through a life skills education, full-time employment, and permanent housing. Now, through its proven Trusted First model, Food on Foot empowers homeless individuals to earn their way off the streets with an astounding 85% success rate. Now, on the donor and volunteer side, Rob has helped grow Food on Foot's $98 a month giving program from 350 members to 600 members, which equates to over $700,000 in yearly donations. He's brought in major sponsors from businesses in the entertainment industry, real estate, and beyond. He helps manage their weekly food and clothing distribution, volunteers events, where they distribute over 7,000 meals annually. So Aaron, Rob, welcome back to Anthony.
People who sacrifice their time, and it really is a sacrifice to make sure that the least of these or the people that, you know, really need our assistance are getting the help that they need. It takes a lot to raise money and to run an organization. So we get to see heroes in and out, and I know day in and day out, and I know that you too, the work that you do is just amazing. So thank you for having us in your presence and then for allowing us the platform just to share about, you know, the work that we're doing to help in homelessness in LA County. I've been with Inner City Law Center since 5 years ago, 2014. And during that time, it was around the time of Measures H and HHH, which was political actions in order to fund housing and permanent supportive housing specifically, and the services that go into that. And Inner City Law Center, you know, thought that it was a good idea for us to expand the work that we do beyond just legal and engage the community, because the community was hearing about, the opportunity to be a part of ending the homelessness crisis, but didn't really know where to start or who to trust or believe, because there's a lot of you know, political talk at the time. But because we've been around since 1980 in Skid Row, delivering legal services and then helping people meet their immediate needs, we positioned ourselves as kind of experts to be able to connect people to the coalition of amazing heroes and service providers that are working day in and day out in order to address the homelessness crisis. And I know that you mentioned the connection between trafficking and homelessness, and there's an organization that you'll find on our website at homeful.la. If you go to the donate page, there's a profile about the Team Project. Mm-hmm. And there are organizations that specifically house people who are coming out of trafficking or prostitution. You know, that's not something right. people go into willingly, right. you know, and I know that there are parents that reach out to me and ask me, how can I, you know, do something about that? Or how do I explain the homelessness crisis to our children? And what are the causes? And sometimes, you know, illicit industry is the cause of mm-hmm. of why people end up homeless or why, or the trauma because of that is why people can't maintain a job or do what, you know, the rest of us can in order to maintain housing. So, yeah, so there is definitely a connection. It's part of the problem, and, you know, it's a complicated problem, and people are complicated. So, you know, that's why we work together. That's why people like Rob and I participate in community meetings and stay up to date on what's going on so that we could, you know, invite people to join alongside us and really address every aspect of the issue.
Well, and that's one of the things that I love about what you're doing is the fact that, you know, as a small business owner, there's only so much that we can do. And what I love is the fact that you have figured out that you have to have something to where you're getting government involved. Because without getting them involved, you know, we can all do a little bit, but, you know, we're doing a little bit here and a little bit here and a little bit there. But to be able to wrap all of that together is just phenomenal. And that's what I see, which is why I've been so impressed with what it is that you're doing. And I want to ask Rob if you can talk a little bit more about the model. I was interviewed on a documentary a couple of years ago, and they wanted to talk to me about the whole documentary was about homelessness, but they only wanted me to talk about kind of the ugly side of human trafficking. You know, they said, you know, can you give some just statistics on human trafficking and stuff like that? And so I knew the director. And so I said, after we did everything that they wanted, I said, I have a request. I said, the person interviewing me, can they ask me questions on how do we fix it? I said, because what I realized was the documentary was shining a light on it, but they weren't talking about how to fix it. And that's what I love about what you guys are doing, because there's one thing about going in and saying, people need a handout here, and you give them something, but you're never really fixing it. You're just continuing to do it. For instance, the idea of setting up housing, setting up work, setting up processes within government so that there'll be changes made. Talk a little bit about some of those things, because that's the huge thing to me. It's wonderful. It touches everybody's heart when somebody's going out and you're giving them food to somebody that needs food. We know they need it right now. Mm-hmm. But talk about the other side of this, where it's helping to change it and reduce it.
Of course, yeah. So, you know, one of the things that we do is we distribute food and clothing to about 150 homeless and low-income individuals every single Sunday in Hollywood. We have volunteers that can sign up online and do that. However, you know, although that's a fantastic way to help, food is not the solution to homelessness. And what we've discovered through 23 years of research in the field is that one of the largest contributions to homelessness is really a lack of trust. And what we're talking about when we're talking about trust is trust within somebody. So that's, you know, self-esteem and confidence, but also a lack of trust with the people that are that want to help or that are offering help. So there's a lot of homeless individuals out there that have been promised a lot of things. They've been promised housing. They've been promised jobs. They've been promised other ways to get off the streets, and they've been let down. Sometimes it's just empty promises. Sometimes it is that the funds that are going to these programs come really slowly. And so we operate on somewhat of a different model. We are 100% independently funded. And that way we can really focus on high quality care without sort of like bureaucratic red tape and restrictions. These homeless individuals need immediate assistance. And so the first thing that we really do is we help them with that trust. So it's anything from confidence building, which really is part of our life skills education, part of our jobs and housing program. And so that's anything from mock interview training for the jobs that we will eventually help them find, crisis management. A lot of homeless individuals, even if they're newly homeless, they have depression, they get PTSD just from living on the streets because it's an extraordinarily dangerous area. Also, the stigma of being homeless or being a homeless individual can really hurt someone's self-esteem as well. And it gets to that point where they really give up. And so what we do is we really want to let them know that they have value and that if they work hard, they can get out of their homeless situation. And so that's really part of the life skills education. We also help them with money management as well. So once they start getting a job, we help them with budgeting and, saving money. So trust is really a big important factor.
Rob, I have a question for you, because you said something that we find in human trafficking is identity, that the identity of that person has been taken away from him in many ways. And I really appreciate what you're saying. It's like, so what do you do with the with helping people understand who they are?
So a lot of it is really in terms of identity, it's showing them that they are worth something.
Yeah.
And so there are we have two amazing program directors, Precious and Kelsey, and they work with our homeless participants every single week. There's workshops, both one-on-one and group workshops.
Super.
Where they work on goals and really what kind of jobs that they want to do. We work on resume building and all of that, because like I said, once someone loses everything, one of the things that they do lose is their dignity, their inner respect, and most of all, their identity. So it's really trying to get that all back together. And so there's a few things that we do to kind of get them back into, feeling like they're part of a community, part of the society, especially when there's a lot of the times when you're homeless, you feel like you're really looked down upon, and
right.
You don't even feel like you're, part of the community or even a human anymore. And so one of the things that we do is through this program. So the program takes about 9 months to go through on average. And one thing that we do not do is we do not rush people through the program. So everybody has their own individual journey. Sometimes it takes a year to go through the program, and that's totally fine. And so in addition to the life skills that I already talked about, one thing that we do with all of our participants is that we assign them cleaning routes around the streets of Hollywood. So every single Sunday, we give them, brooms and trash bags, and then they go around the streets of Hollywood and also the local farmers market, and they clean the streets.
Wow.
in return for food gift cards. And so that's a really good way for them to build upon, one is their work ethic, but also to build upon a community building. So they're actually helping out the community while doing that.
So they're acts of service.
Absolutely.
Sure. Wow.
Absolutely.
And that's the key, is to be of service. And that's why I love doing what I do, because I'm like a concierge for people who want to be of service. I want people who are listening to reach out to us via Homeful or directly at ethompsoninnercitylaw.org. And let's talk about how do you want to be of service? I think that, mm-hmm. It's resolution time. People are have weight loss goals, but what are your community goals? And how are you going to be a contribution this year? And we believe that if people really, you know, gave these issues a little less lip service and really dedicated a few hours a week, you know, because mm-hmm. how long is the volunteer opportunity that you do, Rob? It's like a few hours.
Yeah. So our volunteer opportunity, it's pretty easy. It's 2 hours on a Sunday from 3 to 5. And you can, you know, go to foodonfoot.org to sign up. There's a big orange volunteer button at the top.
Yeah. And it's just like you dedicate that time on a weekly or monthly basis. And then for parents, like your children are looking to you to be an example. Mm-hmm. And this is a way you have to get educated first. You know, we have resources for you to help you understand the issue in its totality, to dispel some myths, or to help you be comfortable. But the best way is to actually show up and really do something. And then you'll really be able to see that this is a solvable problem. There are people that just need a little extra tender love and care. And we can go on this journey with them to get them into housing, get them off of the streets, and then restore that dignity and respect that they deserve.
You know, Terry, I'd like you to address a particular part of this as a counselor, because I know that there are some statistics out there from a mental health standpoint. The increase in mental health when you provide an active service, because you're providing an active service, but the reality of it is, and I know that there is clinical proof, there is scientific proof that if you're suffering from depression, it actually helps you. So share a little bit from a counseling standpoint how acts of service actually helps you as much or more than it does the people you're helping.
It's interesting because we found it's simplistic. The best, most effective healing process for depression is acts of service. Go do something for somebody else. And that's one of the things that we find in the homeless stuff and in the human trafficking, that if you do something for somebody else, it changes your perspective. You get a sense of that there is something valuable about you. So the best answer I can give you on that is that from a therapeutic model is that you're not focusing on your problems, you're helping change somebody else's
yes.
problems.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, miracles happen. And that's why I said I really appreciate what you guys are talking about, because it's when people feel like they're contributing, they have the capacity to contribute. Is most of the time when you're homeless, you're on the streets, you've been victimized, you don't feel like you have anything to give back. So it's a significant mode.
So along those lines, because now we're talking about this 3 to 5 window on Sundays. So for somebody that's thinking about that, what does that entail? What would they see themselves doing?
So the volunteer event is from 3 to 5, and the way that we've set it up, it's really interesting because the food distribution aspect of Food on Foot coincides with our larger jobs and housing program. So when volunteers come to distribute food, not only will they be doing that, but they're also interacting and talking and hearing stories from the participants in the jobs and housing program. So the volunteers will learn how these individuals first became homeless, how Food on Foot helped them get off the streets with a full-time job in their own apartment, and life skills education, and also where they are in life right now. And I'm glad that you were talking, Terry, about acts of service. One of the big things that we do with our jobs and housing program participants is we really inspire them to give back through what we like to call as random acts of kindness, which is just helping anybody. Just anything big or small. And at the very end of our volunteer event, we actually have a big award ceremony where the 25 participants that are in our program for that specific week come up and get on the microphone and talk to the volunteers about how they helped someone through a random act of kindness. And so it could be anything from helping someone with their groceries or volunteering at a shelter. A lot of our homeless participants, you know, they live in shelters, or they work at soup kitchens, or they volunteer that way. And so it's a really great way for them to kind of get up, talk to our volunteers, which, by the way, really helps them with their confidence in public speaking too, because all of a sudden they're on the microphone talking to a group of about 30 strangers, which is really good, and you know, everybody's applauding them, and then also the volunteers get to talk to them about their random acts of kindness too. So it's really a community that is created.
I love it. So Aaron, along the same lines, when somebody goes to homeful.la, what can they expect to see?
Well, we have a few aspects to our site, but we hope that when you leave it, you will leave feeling educated, engaged, and inspired by what you see there. There's an About Homelessness page that gives you details and data. There's a volunteer calendar, which right now features upcoming opportunities to participate in the homeless count. We partnered with LASA, the Los Angeles Homelessness Services Authority, through the weekend to end homelessness. We do that in the fall, where we have like countywide community engagement events. So we know that there are people all throughout the county. It used to be kind of concentrated in Skid Row, but now, you know, as far up as Antelope Valley and as low as, you know, Gardena, there are people experiencing homelessness everywhere throughout the county. And there are also organizations and people doing great work. So we try to feature those opportunities on the website as well, so you can enter your zip code and find organizations. If you're in Hollywood, you can find Food on Foot. If you're kind of down south, we have organizations that are everywhere in order for you to plug into. And then you also see our advocacy page. We think it's really important not only to address the immediate needs of people experiencing homelessness, but to prevent homelessness from happening in the first place. So, you know, you'll find scripts on our advocacy page for when you contact your representatives about what to say about the homelessness crisis. I can easily put you in touch with some of our policy experts. In order to get clarity about anything or to hold your hand through that process. But we really need people to be vocal and realize that we are the government. I went to law school, and our constitutional law class, they taught us that, you know, this government was formed for the people and by the people. And sometimes we push off the responsibility to other people to really make our society work. And we're saying, you know, take that responsibility back, and here's a resource to get you started. And then, you know, we definitely want to celebrate, you know, the miracles that happen afterwards. And so you can go to our social media pages on Instagram and Facebook in order to see, you know, all the people who are really, you know, dedicated to ending homelessness in our lifetime. And we really do believe that it can be done in our lifetime.
Would you like to use this platform now to announce your candidacy to run for office? Okay, because when you're ready, you have our support.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Alan.
So you let me know when the time comes. Okay, we're going to take a break. But again, so with me is Terry Liddow, Aaron Thompson, Rob Danson. We are talking about working together to end homelessness. We'll be right back. You're listening to Answers for the Family.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service, licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services and West Shield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back. You're listening to Answers for the Family, and we are talking about working together to end homelessness. And when I say working together, I don't mean just us at this table. I mean all of us listening, and those that aren't listening, okay, you that are out there, okay, you're hearing this, and if you know somebody that can make a difference, forward the show to them. let them know how they can make a difference. You know, to be able to either go to homefold.la, to be able to learn how you can do it on a variety of different areas. If you're in and near the Hollywood area, to be able to go to Food on Foot and see what can you do to be able to help. And then as if you missed earlier, we talked about the fact that there's a psychological benefit. There's things going on in your brain that are going to help you and make you a happier, healthier person just by making a difference in somebody else's life. So let's keep all of that in mind. Now, I also want to thank those that take the time to call in, or as they can tell, we don't get too many call-ins, but to go ahead and email in or to text in either during the show or before. We have a couple that have come in already, one of which came in last night. And one of the reasons is because we have a lot of people that work during the time of this show. So they tell us that they're sending in a question ahead of time, asking that we will ask it of the guests so that they can listen later on through iTunes or however it is that they choose to listen. So this first one reads, when I lived in California, three of my neighbors lost their homes to foreclosure during the 2008 real estate crisis. Two of them found themselves living with relatives, and one moved into a small travel camper that was parked on the street. I thought we were doing a little better after all these years, but until I read an article last month in the U.S. News entitled Homelessness Spike in California Causes National Rise. It stated that current numbers were 151,000 homeless in California, and that of the U.S. total, which is over 550,000 homeless, my thought was, how can it be that California has an astounding one-fifth of the entire nation's homeless population? Says what the article does not address is why the increase, why California has so many, or it says nothing about how to fix it. So those are my questions to you. I'm looking forward to your reply. Thank you so much for everything you're doing to make a difference. And this is from Bernie. It says now living in Arizona. So
well, I'll
start.
I could answer a little bit of that. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why an individual may become homeless. In Los Angeles, a major reason is because of the housing shortage. So rent has pretty much doubled within the last several years. What we're dealing with here with Food on Foot when we're trying to find apartments for our participants is that a bare-bones studio apartment, I mean, we're talking about a very, very small room, a very small studio apartment, costs around $1,300, $1,400, $1,500 a month. And so the stats is that a third of households in Los Angeles spend 50% of income or more on rent. And a minimum wage employee would have to work 79 hours a week just to afford a one-bedroom apartment. And so those numbers are pretty staggering. And so what you're talking about, when you think about it, who are these people that cannot even afford a one-bedroom apartment? I mean, we're talking about a lot of service individuals too. So whether it's people working at grocery stores, waiters, gas station attendants. There was actually an article several years ago about Disneyland. Where many of the people that worked at Disneyland, even though they were working full-time, were homeless. So you're seeing a lot of people that work full-time, they're living in their cars or they're living in tents. You're also seeing that with students as well, like college students who cannot afford tuition and room and board. So people are living in their tents and then go or in their cars and then going to school.
Yeah, and there's a lot of land here in California, and but people have to share, you know, that little concept you learn in mm-hmm. kindergarten, you know, you kind of have to like share some of the land. And we're finding that there are funds, there's a willingness to build now. I mean, the government has come in near the tail end where it's become a crisis now, and they, but they're pitching in. They are supporting the building of housing and affordable housing for people who are, you know, most impacted by the increase in the cost of living, but not the increase in wages. You know, so there's that gap and that burden that gets created. But, you know, then when we propose that we build a shelter or that we build affordable housing in certain neighborhoods, there's people who don't want it in their neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. So there's got to be some sharing that happens, and also just some sensitivity to the issue and what is really going to take in order to solve. So unfortunately, I would hate to say that Californians are being selfish, but that's the way that it's playing out. And so we need for the people who really do have compassion to speak up louder, because the voices of what we call the NIMBYs, the not in my backyards, are drowning them out. And that's what's, you know, slowing down change.
Terry, your thoughts?
Well, it's interesting because that description is around the world. The cost of housing isn't going down, and if it does, it's because the quality of the housing is going down. Like you were talking about, a simple studio apartment. You know, when you have 5, 6, 7 people, which is not unusual outside the United States, to see people trying to just survive. And they take turns sleeping. I mean, it's just, when you look at this stuff, it's serious. And I'm not sure what we do about it, because it causes people to go out and do things that they don't want to do. And you can't get a job, so what do you do? And in our case, we see a lot of prostitution. We see a lot of kids, a lot of women. That's their answer, because they can't get a job. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this problem is not just in L.A. County. It's not just in California. Right. It's everywhere.
I have a question, and I don't know if either of you have looked into. Are you familiar with Medicine Hat Canada?
No.
Okay, so for everybody out there, you can check this out too. But check out Medicine Hat Canada. When you were describing your model, it's very similar to what Medicine Hat has done. Only what they did, and they're a small town, but they almost completely extinguished homelessness by doing something very similar to your model, which was not just a handout, but here is, we're going to give you a job, and for a job you're going to get this, and we're going to provide you with psychological counseling, and we're going to provide you with training so that you can learn a job that you like, and how to get the education to go wherever it is that you want to go with your career. But from the housing standpoint, part of what it was also getting them involved in the construction of new things. But the one thing that appeared to be different than I think that some of the things that are happening in California is, okay, they went just slightly outskirts where the land is not so expensive. So to try to go, you know, we know when we talk about, you know, where things are most expensive, okay, if you're right downtown, if you're in Century City, okay, this is real expensive real estate. You can go not too far outside of town, and it's less expensive real estate, which makes it easier to build housing and such, but it's providing the jobs immediately right there. And that once you have enough people there, then work is going to come, because you now have to have food, you now have to have everything that goes with it, just like you would grow any town. But it was a model that has been picked up in Canada, and they're starting to use it in others. And I know that even the mayor of Albuquerque has mentioned that as a model, as they're trying to do changes in Albuquerque as well. But the part I loved was that when you were talking about your model, I went, this is very similar. And what they're saying is that this might only be a town of 30,000 people, but that doesn't mean you can't take this and do it tenfold, and now you can do it in a town of 300,000. And then for Los Angeles, you have to go tenfold again. But I love what you're talking about, and I think we're all talking about the fact that, you know, you have to do more than just walk around and hand somebody something because it's not going to fix anything long term. So it sounds like that there are things out there that people can be doing, you know, and you guys are doing them, and for that I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think we have to be careful when we think about, you know, sharing space to be sure that, you know, we look at, you know, the centuries of, you know, racial discrimination that hasn't allowed people to be able to afford houses, and, you know, the people who have been relied upon to provide the, you know, the services to be the grocery store clerks and, you know, the positions they're in. We don't necessarily want to ship them anywhere. Like, you know, this is where they were born. This is where their resources are. This is, you know, where their jobs and their support systems are. So if you, like, start taking people out and, like, sending them outskirts because it seems cheaper, you know, you have to kind of, you know, weigh the morality of that decision because, you know, this, you know, they're in that situation not only just because of the choices that they made, that right. Society has failed them in some way. So they need to be, you know, handled in a way that's, you know, equitable.
Oh, I agree. And I'm not talking about you have to be out in the middle of the desert.
Right.
But I'm just saying that, you know, there are areas in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
But that's not necessarily Century City. And just
right.
using that as an example, just on a piece of property that happens to cost a lot more for anybody, no matter what, you know, where they're coming from, you know, it's that. So it's, when I say outside, it's, you know, you can be outside Century City and you can be 2 miles away and all of a sudden it's the property value's a third of what it costs you to be in Century City or mm-hmm. something. So that's what they were talking about in, as far as at least in this model that they were showing, was they're saying, you know, that a lot of the business center that's right here, so, and because they were talking about something that was only 30,000 people, their idea of being outside of it was like a half a mile.
You right.
know, it wasn't that far to be outside of whatever their little thing is. So, but yeah, I've heard others that have said, I had somebody, I forget where I was at, and they said, well, you know, there's all that empty space out in the desert. And I'm like, okay, but how are they going to get to any jobs? And
right.
it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. So again, understand that I get the fact of, you can only be so far out and still be a part of the community.
Right.
So let's talk a little. Well, actually, one of the things, I'm looking at the time. I want to make sure that we get a chance to get to some success stories. I actually have people that come up to me at the gym and things like that, and they go, you know what my favorite part of your show is? That somebody always seems to have a success story. She goes, this one recently at the gym, she goes, sometimes it can be kind of a difficult subject that you're talking about, but then I hear these success stories and I kind of come away feeling good. So if each of you could maybe take one of your favorite success stories, and I think actually all three of you, and just take one of your favorite success stories and share it, because that seems to be what the listeners want, and it's what I enjoy most.
I think my story is personal. I try to make it to a lot of the opportunities that we offer on Homeful site. And I happened to go to a Worthy of Love party. It's a party that happens every last Thursday of the month at Union Rescue Mission in Skid Row. And, you know, you take it for granted, a birthday party, right, for a child. But, you know, there are children experiencing homelessness, too, who don't get that opportunity.
Sure.
So Worthy of Love gets donations from the community. They have volunteers come and put on this amazing event, which is the best party you've ever been to. And I happen to be stationed at the name tag station. So when kids will come in, we give them a name tag. If it's their birthday, we know ahead of time. So we gave this young girl her name tag, and I said, oh, it's your birthday this month. And she goes, yeah. And so her and her mom and her sister were coming in. So I walked her over to get a gift because the birthday people get a special gift, and we get in a big circle and sing happy birthday to them. And I looked over, and the mother was just crying, like uncontrollable tears. So I went over and I gave her a hug, and she said, you know, I was like, are you okay? You know, this is kind of like a festive environment. Are you okay? And she says, I finally got the courage to leave a domestic violence situation. Mm. I, you know, packed up my kids last week and we came here. But I totally forgot that it was my daughter's birthday, that she was coming, you know, her birthday was coming up. But this organization and you guys being here and creating this experience for her is a miracle and a blessing for our family, because you're here to kind of fill in that gap. So I think for me, like, you know, on a daily basis, there are tons of stories about people, you know, getting housing, getting jobs, but just like the joy that you're able to bring to somebody by doing something as simple as, you know, like filling out a name tag is amazing. I think everybody should do it. Get some.
Rum?
Yeah, I mean, one of the great things about working with Food on Foot is that, I mean, you see success stories all the time. One of them, I mean, most recently for me, that really touches my heart is an individual named Roy, who I had a big conversation with him yesterday. Roy had been in prison for many, many years. And when he got out, he, you know, became homeless. And we ended up helping him get off the streets with a full-time job. He has his own apartment. He's getting a promotion at his own work now. And one of the great things about what Roy does is that, and we also see this with other participants as well, it's not just Roy, but he comes back every single Sunday when we have our big jobs and housing and volunteer food distribution programming. He comes back and just volunteers his time. And he goes above and beyond. He comes and he's always asking our program directors what he can do to help out and really, you know, make a difference. And one thing that we've had him do, and this is all, you know, and he's just volunteering to do this, is at our local farmers market, we have a little booth where he goes and he just talks to the people that are buying groceries and lets them know about Food on Foot and how they could come and volunteer and help out. And so he basically gets all these people to sign up on our email lists. And not only that, but he also comes out and he mentors a lot of the participants in the jobs and housing program. So, I mean, I've said this before and I'll keep on saying, like, the big theme is trust. And so one of the things is that, you know, when our homeless participants, when they first hear about Food on Foot and they say, and they get our flyer and they see that we can get them a full-time job and their own apartment, which, by the way, is fully furnished. We fully furnished their apartment for them. They say, wait a minute, this is too good to be true. I've been let down too many times. This looks like a pipe dream. I don't believe it. But when they actually come, one of the things that we do is we have our graduates, a lot of our graduates like to come out and mentor the incoming participants. So really it's social proof. It shows the graduates come and let them know that if they work hard, they stick with the program, that they too will be able to get this full-time job in their apartment. And that's why we have such a good success rate, is because people actually know that if they continuously come and have a good attitude and work hard, they will be able to get this too.
My favorite part of Roy's story is the paying it forward. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the part, you know, where whatever visual that somebody has of somebody who's gone through this, you know, take that visual of this is somebody that had something that was so beneficial to them that the most important thing to them was to pay it forward to others. I love it.
It's infectious.
That's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. Terry.
I do have one. And I'm going to tell you a story about Anna. And Anna lives in Nicaragua. And we met her with our partner down there about 4 years ago, 5 years ago. And Anna worked the streets. She had three kids, but she was on the streets. And she lived in a house at a dirt floor and no running water, no bathroom, no anything. But she was covered, basically. And recently, Anna has her own house. It has indoor plumbing, both a toilet and a shower. She has a kitchen, running water. And she is now off the streets, and she's going out on the streets and bringing other women. And we get to be part of that amazing journey. And it works. And it's the investment in other people that makes the difference. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Anna's, she's one of my favorite. I get way too many stories, unfortunately. But
Okay, we are almost out of time. So real quickly, for somebody that is listening, what is the best way for them to reach you or to get more information?
Yeah, so Food on Foot, the website is foodonfoot.org. As mentioned, we do have volunteer opportunities every single Sunday in Hollywood. It's from 3 to 5, and it is kid-friendly as well. We have a lot of families that come out to volunteer, and so you can go to that website and click on the orange volunteer button to learn more.
And for us at Inner City Law Center's homeful.la, you go to homeful, H-O-M-E-F-U-L, .la, so it's not .com or .org. And then you can reach me directly at ethompson@innercitylaw.org. I would love to, you know, coach you through how to be of service.
Terry.
Ours is findingfreedomint.org. And if you go there, the website has a lot of information on it. And you can volunteer. You can get involved with us. You can do some things. You can also donate, which we're okay with that, because it costs a lot of money to do what we're all doing here. So we need all your heart, not only your prayers, but we need your financial support too. So
okay, and so for everybody listening out there, so you've seen that there are ways you can donate your time, you can donate your money. There's another way also, and you can send this information to somebody else. Okay, so. You know, if you put this information out there, you may be in a position to where, you know, you're not able to get that involved right now. That doesn't mean that there isn't somebody that you know that can get involved. And I'll tell you, the very best way to do it is do all three. It's going to feel best. So again, all of you, thank you so much. I just really want to acknowledge for everything that you're doing. You're all doing it at so many great levels, and it's so appreciated.
Thank you.
All right. Now, for everybody out there, please be sure and put us on your calendar. Next Monday, our guest will be Dr. Jacqueline Jones to discuss her new book, Medical Parenting, How to Navigate Health, Wellness, and the Medical System with Your Child. So please visit our archives of past interviews at answersforthefamily.com. You can subscribe to the show in however you listen to podcasts. We are on iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, Spreaker, SoundCloud, and iHeartRadio. If you like what you hear, please leave a review. It will help us reach more people, and we greatly appreciate it. Next time you're on Facebook or Twitter, please remember to stop by our page, as well as the pages of everybody else here, and read the posts. If you like what you read, leave a comment, get involved, and most of all, just be good human beings, and have a wonderful week. Thank you. Bye now.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.